So, Wells, we were talking about TAS-102 and colorectal cancer, and all of a sudden we saw a study and then actually an FDA approval of TAS-102 in metastatic gastric cancer. Any comments on this, Wells? Is this a strategy that you started to use?
Yeah, I have used it. And, it's very similar to colon. It's not a home run. It's more of a single or a double in terms of how it's changing outcomes. The curves don't really flatten. They kind of mirror each other. The hazard ratio, again, is 0.69. So that means you got about a 31% improvement. And this is overall survival. So it's another tool in the toolbox. It's often well tolerated. Sometimes late in the course, patients with gastroesophageal cancer have problems with pills. So you have to think about that a little bit. But I use it kind of similar to the way that I do for colorectal cancer.
So I want to finish out with one case, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about COVID if we can. But actually, Philip, this is a patient from your practice who actually got TAS-102 with metastatic gastric cancer. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what happened with this woman. It looks like we were talking about the usual sequence of therapies, and it kind of looks like she went through that. Maybe you can go through this case, Philip.
So the patient was HER2 negative, so that's a mandatory test we do on every patient with stage four disease. And the patient had good performance status. We gave her FOLFOX, but she had the problem with the neuropathy, which was starting to get worse, and also fatigue. And that could be related to her longstanding diabetes also, which puts her at risk. So that's why when we went to the second line, we could not really add the Taxol. At the same time, doing the CPS score wasn't really encouraging to go into immunotherapy, either second line or third line. So we gave her ramucirumab alone. We got a bit of a stable disease, and it was well tolerated, except for the blood pressure a bit elevated. And then once she got to the third line, she was actually having performance status two. At that point in time, we had a couple of options. One was to put her through chemotherapy again, which would be irinotecan, single agent, or combination like FOLFIRI, or go for a lesser toxic treatment, which was the single agent TAS-102. And she got it. And in fact, she had stable disease on it. That's why I wanted to highlight that these drugs can work. There's a possibility of keeping the disease stable. And for a third line, I think not going through chemotherapy, but rather a treatment that can keep it steady, it was reasonable to continue with it. However, she also started to get problems with fatigue. And with the neutropenia, we decided to cut down on the dose a bit so that she can stay on it. The key point to make here is that the neutropenia is not really dangerous, as I mentioned to you before, like we see, for example, FOLFIRI. But at the same time, you have to take the patient totality, and we treat the patient. They have some fatigue, so you make a decision with that in mind. And the other thing is that dose reductions sometimes work well in favor of the patient because it means that the patient can stay on the treatment for longer, and that's really what matters. If the patient starts to get a lot of side effects, they may refuse the treatment, or you might decide not to continue the treatment. So one has to be really very personalized in the way we approach the patients. And patients have to be working with the doctor, the nurses, the nurse practitioners, PAs, everybody to really come up with a good way of maintaining the patient in a way that can control the disease.
So I see in the chat room someone said that they missed the beginning. Are we going to be posting this? And yes, all this is what we're going to be posting. Actually, we have a whole lot of other stuff. We're going to be posting like 40 hours of video over the next few weeks. And just stay tuned as we keep in touch with you about that.